Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 7th of April, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hello, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
Glad you're here. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly. Good to be here.
All right. So first up, I'd like to talk about a piece, Charlotte, that you wrote. That has an accompanying video about IMEI numbers.
Yes. What's an IMEI number, you might ask, Kelly Gamont?
I am, in fact, asking, what is an IMEI number?
Well, it sounds kind of boring, but it's actually kind of important because it's made up of 15 digit and it basically is a unique identifier for your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the type of thing that you don't know you need it until you need it and then you really need it. So, for example, I needed it because I was having some trouble with my iPhone. I had to phone Apple support.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing they ask is, what's the IMEI number? And I was like, oh, hell, how do I find that? Well, there are various ways you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the settings on your phone, and the article, I describe how to do it. But the important thing to say here is there are now, particularly in the newer iPhones, where they have eSIMs, you might have two IMEI numbers. The one you're going to generally want is marked as the primary IMEI number.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so it's basically in settings, general, about. You can also find that number on the back of the phone, back of the box that your phone came in.
Yes.
And if you can really face it, it's on the SIM tray as well. One thing I didn't realize when I knew most of those ways of finding it, but one I didn't realize until I did some digger-deeping is you can actually get it online as well through appleid.apple.com. I didn't realize this. And if you log in with your Apple ID, you can see all your devices and select the one that you need the IMEI number for. So that's useful. And as I say, it's the type of thing you don't realize you need it until you need it.
Yes.
And then you probably need it quite quickly. So your iPhone has gone kaput. Your iPad is in a mood with you. You know, all these type of things, and you need to get it to Apple support, or like there's an issue, you need to return it, you know, send it in for repair or something. Those kind of things. Those are the typical ones. But also, I think, you know, if you're moving a cell provider, network provider, you would probably want to, you would need the number for that kind of instance as well. So it's a useful thing to know where to find it. And of course, because you might need it when your phone has gone kaput, it is in more places than just your phone.
Yes. Now I will point out,
and I should emphasize, I've talked about the phone because that's my most common usage for it, but it is, I believe, on any cellular device. So your iPad, if it has a cell connection, will have it. I think probably an Apple Watch with a cell connection will have it as well.
Yeah, I think so. And I'll tell you, it stands for International Mobile Equipment Identity Number.
It does. I was just waiting for you to testing you.
And one of the things that it's used for is if I'm recalling this correctly, some cellular networks use that as the reporting mechanism. So like if you report your phone stolen, the IMEI number attached to your account can be disabled, and then that way other people can't use your phone. Like if it was stolen, then the phone is useless, and so it doesn't do them any good.
Yeah,
it's even if they get a new SIM for it, you know, they still can't use it. So yeah,
and it's we should say, just because I can feel Andrew is off air twitching, like don't write it down and put it somewhere anyone can find it. Like it's a security thing to keep it safe as well.
Yes. And the thing I was going to point out, maybe Andrew will now stop twitching, is this is another unique identifier, just like the serial number on your device, that you can use for like identity verification. You know, if your phone is stolen, you want to make sure you get it back. This is another one of those things that Absolutely. You can add as a secure note in a password manager or in the Notes app. If you have something that has like, you know, your phone is an iPhone 12 and it's on AT&T and here's the serial number and here's the IMEI and like here's the storage of it. And it's really nice to have that not just for your device. Like if you are in a household, it's nice to track those for your household, or if you have that for other family members that you help, because if there comes a point where something happens to the device in some way and you can't get at any of that information, it's nice to have it at your fingertips. So yes, you can log in. You know, if it's not registered to your Apple ID, it might be harder for you to go to appleid.apple.com and go get it. So if it's a thing that you can write down, just take a minute and put those down. And it also makes it very handy, you know, for insurance reasons, if you have.
Yeah, but keep it safe.
Yeah, it needs somewhere. To go someplace secure, behind a password at a minimum, whatever.
Yes.
Whatever it is, make sure there's a lock on it in some way, whether it's Face ID or something else.
Whilst playing around with this, I discovered something else fun, because often if you want to do check up on something on the Apple Care website, say,
yeah,
you would need to copy, you need to enter your IMEI number into the website.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, feels like a painful thing to do, but if you find it in the way I describe in the article, and you long hold on the number, it gives you the copy option, and then you can paste it. So it's not as painful as it might initially seem.
Nice. It's good you can copy paste that. Yeah. And I'm assuming this is similar on a cellular iPad, you said, correct?
Yeah. I haven't tried it on the iPad, but these things tend to work the same.
Yeah. Okay. So
they do. If it has a cellular modem, it's going to have this number.
Yeah, and the copy and paste.
And the copy paste will work the same, because iPadOS is still really, really similar. So, excellent. So, like you said, Charlotte, this is a thing that is useful, and you don't need it till you need it. And when you need it, boy, howdy, is it nice to have it, you know, in a secure note on your phone, or tucked away in your password manager where you keep some other stuff. So, definitely nice to have.
You don't want to get to the end of being on waiting to get through to an engineer on support, or finally getting through to someone at your cell network, and then have to faff around finding this number. It's good to be able to get it to hand quickly.
Yeah, because especially if you can't get it out, like if you don't keep the box, we mentioned it's printed on the box. If you don't have the box, and if your phone is shut down, like Charlotte said, you know, good luck reading it off the SIM tray, but there's not another way to get into the software. Like if your phone doesn't work, then it can be hard to do that. So definitely go check that out. And Charlotte, you have a video to illustrate this as well, right? Over at MacObserver.com.
Yeah, how to copy and paste it is all in the video as well.
Excellent. All right. So Brian has been busy copying down the IMEIs for all of his devices and putting them in his password manager so he doesn't lose stuff. But now we're going to reel him into the conversation, because turns out Apple Arcade has had this big update, and maybe it doesn't suck anymore. And we've set Brian to the task of grueling research on Apple Arcade to find out if this is true.
Yes. Yes. And I am still cranky about it.
And still recovering from the intense effort expended on this task. For
exactly.
You, the listener.
Yeah, so I went, first of all, I like Arcade. I have liked Arcade. There were several games from the get-go that I thought were absolutely terrific. Now, the reality is that I haven't played a whole lot of Arcade games in the intervening months since it was released and I was first digging into it. And that's mainly been an issue of time. I still like the games that I initially liked. So I don't have any complaints and have continued to be a subscriber, even though I wasn't actually playing the games, which maybe is a bit ridiculous. I get that. That's a fair criticism. But count me among those who always thought that Arcade was cool. Ichabod 2.
Ichabod 100% agrees. I will point out that there was, I will see if I can get a link to it for the show notes. There's an App Store story about Arcade and it, you know, it's got all these new releases and everything. And the reason it caught my eye is because it was an App Store story about Apple Arcade, and it has this giant image at the top. And the giant image at the top includes NBA 2K. And it includes a shot of Damian Lillard, who is one of my favorite basketball players, who plays on my favorite basketball team, the Portland Trailblazers. So the screenshot for Arcade is like my home court. And it was very odd to be scrolling through the App Store and come across that, which is how this story caught my eye in the first place. And Brian, we talked about Arcade when it launched. And part of what was so interesting about it initially was that they were pitching it much like TV Plus. As all original content. And they worked with some studios to have these exclusive releases that were only going to be things available on Apple Arcade. And the success or failure of that is a question I will leave as an exercise for the listener. However, that's not the case anymore with this massive drop of new stuff, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Apple's pretty much done what the three of us, and not just the three of us, have talked about whether or not Apple needs to do for Apple TV Plus, which is to have legacy content.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the tried and true, the familiar, the go-tos, the favorites, the old classics, things like that. And they have done that with Arcade by adding a bunch of classic games, including, you know, I guess it really depends on how you define classic, but including games like Fruit Ninja Warrior. Yeah. What's the name of it? Is it Fruit Ninja or Fruit Ninja Warrior? Fruit Ninja?
Are you conflating it with American Ninja Warrior?
Possibly. That seems likely, actually.
I would watch that show, Fruit Ninja Warrior, where they just like hurl watermelons at people as they're running across the, you know, the big pool of water. Now I kind of want to watch that.
Can we talk about the fact that Brian admitted pre-show that he'd never played Fruit Ninja before?
We absolutely need to get that confession on the internet for all posterity.
Why is that?
But I have played it now, and I played it now because it's on Arcade. So I mean, that's the point, is that that's at least the point that I'm making, is that Arcade is. It was interesting and cool that it was all these original games, and then Apple was effectively financing the development of original content, mm-hmm. and that it's not, you know, it's not in-app purchase supported, right? And you know it's all this great stuff, but the reality is that adding classic games that again are not in-app purchase supported or in-app advertising supported.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It definitely enhances Arcade. It definitely is going to, at least it should, make Arcade more appealing to more people. The mm-hmm. games are there, and they're just, you know, ready for you to play them, and that's great.
So what would you like to see? I'm going to ask both of you this. Brian, what's something you would like to see come to Apple Arcade that's not there now?
That's a good question. Any of the Kingdom Rush games? That would be fantastic.
I would pay $5 a month with a smile on my face and a song in my heart for a Kingdom Rush game to be on Arcade. I would pay for just that, and it would be awesome.
Yeah,
and my life would be better. Kingdom I would Rush miss is... you all because I would spend the rest of my life playing Kingdom Rush.
The original Kingdom Rush is certainly pretty old at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might, that something like that would be an excellent addition to Arcade. Other than that, probably, I saw the Oregon Trail, by the way, I've also never played Oregon Trail ever. I don't know how this is possible. I've also not seen Titanic.
Oh, yeah, you're not missing anything there.
I've only seen bits of Titanic.
And E.T. I haven't seen E.T. either.
Oh, if we're doing films we haven't seen, I'm terrible. Like, I will lose this game. But
I think it might be winning.
It might be winning, but I feel culturally it's losing.
Well, yes.
In terms of... So the obvious answer for me is I would like Football Manager to be on Apple Arcade.
Of course you would.
But... Also,
and hello, international audience who might appreciate that. I feel like that's probably a much more popular game where you live than it is where I live.
Yeah, but also then I would, Brian would have to fire me because I wouldn't do any work.
Which game?
Football Manager Mobile.
Ah, right.
It's her kingdom. I think it's Charlotte's Kingdom Rush. Yeah.
We would have to have an awkward conversation, Brian, because you suddenly realize I was only playing that game, not doing anything useful.
Yeah, I probably notice.
there's a good chance you would notice.
Oh yeah. That was my jerk statement of the day. That was actually my second jerk statement of the day.
Okay, that's valid. The thing, so Charlotte, what do you want? You want Football Manager to come to?
Yeah, I don't think that will happen because it's too big a brand.
Sure.
But I think, listen, I've been on this show with you a more than once number of times saying that I don't understand Apple Arcade and I wouldn't pay for it. And like the games are good and are quite good, but why would I pay for it?
Mm-hmm.
There is now a reason, particularly within the bundle scenarios.
Yes.
Where it is now, I think, worth it.
Mm-hmm. And I have not seen this yet. I have not dug very deeply into Arcade since this raft of new games has been unleashed. But I want an 8-bit section. And I know, trust me. I don't bother writing in. You're not going to change my deep-seated love of the 8-bit game, but getting to play some of those games on my phone would be amazing, because I easily spent more than $5 a month in quarters, you know, on your Dig Dugs and your Defenders and your Galagas or Galagas or however you want to pronounce it, your Centipedes. You know, give me the Atari treasury on Apple Arcade for $5 a month. And then when you tell me, oh, by the way, Apple Arcade is $10 a month, I won't care and I'll still pay it. That would be my wish.
Apple Arcade is $5 a month, isn't it?
Yes. But if they increased it to 10 and it still had, you know, the 8-bit treasury of games, I'd still pay it. So we'll see how that goes. If you have games that you want to see, or if there are games that you are playing in Apple Arcade that you want to make sure that we know about and don't miss, I think Arcade is just about getting to the size where you kind of can't reach the end of it anymore. And so like random happenstance, you know, recommendations from other people, just like in the App Store, we definitely want to find out about it. So you can get us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. And we would love nothing more than to do a follow-up episode where we talk about all the games that got recommended to us by our listeners and give you shout outs when we record our episode about that. So definitely let us know what you are playing and loving on Apple Arcade. Brian, thanks so much for coming by today.
Yes. thank you for having me. Good to be here, Kelly.
Charlotte, thanks so much.
I very much enjoyed the product.
Charlotte, thanks so much for coming by.
Yes, I am also here.
Brian, I'll let you get back to Kingdom Rush. Charlotte, I'll let you get back to Football Manager Mobile. And maybe when we're done, if we have some time, Brian, I should give you the pitch for traveling back in time and playing Oregon Trail on a screen that only gives you shades of green, because that is how it is best experienced, you know, in the original Klingon, as they say. I am your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.